Good afternoon. Welcome back again to these recorded messages coming to you from members of the Uxbridge Road Tabernacle, which is a Baptist church in Shepherd's Bush, London, England, and you are most welcome indeed. These messages are primarily for younger people, those younger people who can't at this moment get back to our church in Shepherd's Bush. Now we're hoping, we're planning, we are praying concerning the opening of the youth work this coming Monday, the 10th of May. And if you are young people from Shepherd's Bush, don't forget that. The boys will be meeting at 6:15 for the younger boys and 7:30 for the older boys. And we're looking forward to welcoming you back, doing some good stuff and teaching you about the Word of God, the truths of the Bible. And we look forward to doing that. But today we have another recorded message for you. So fantastic, fantastic story today. One of my favourites in the Bible, and we could call it really the ultimate question. The ultimate question. You'll find out a bit more about that in a moment. We've got other things to do first, and we're going to start off as usual with our catechism. Catechisms are a series of questions and answers, short questions, short answers, but backed up by Bible references. And it just goes to tell us how important the things are of the Bible. So as usual, we're going to press a few buttons, make some noises, and see if we can do this correctly. Here we go. All being well. Bearing with us. There we go. Lovely. Turn off my camera so you can't see me making a mess. Here we go. So the first one, number 22. 22. In what condition did God make Adam and Eve? That's an interesting question, isn't it? One which is deserving of a good answer. In what condition did God make Adam and Eve? Here's the answer. He made them holy and happy. Holy and happy. So we need a Bible reference to back that up. And there it is. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now you may think, well, that's not a very good answer. But when you think about it, if God made us in his own image, then God is perfect, and God is right, and God is good. And God has made us in his own image originally, holy and happy, because God is perfect, sinless and holy. And I dare say that God is often happy. So there we go. That's number one for today. Moving on. Number 23. Did Adam and Eve stay holy and happy? Now we're getting down to it. Did Adam and Eve stay holy and happy? No, the biggest no there is. They sinned against God. Such sadness. What a sad day that was. Now, a bit to read here, but in Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 to 8, it says this. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they saw that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They did what they were told not to do. They sinned. And that's so, so sad. It affects everyone who has ever lived after them. Last one. What is sin? This is a big question as well. A big question. Here we go. The answer is, sin is either neglecting to do what God requires or doing what God forbids. So it's not just doing things wrong, but God has said we must do certain things, and we don't do them. We must worship God with our heart and our soul and our strength. And we don't do that. We don't love our neighbour as we should do. And these are things which we don't do that we should do. And also there are sins of doing things wrong. And we need to back that up with a Bible verse. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Things which we should do, things which we shouldn't do. We shouldn't seek to change the word of God by saying, well, it doesn't really matter if I do that, or if I don't do that. God says, no, what I have said is the way that things should be done. So think about that. Very, very important. Very important indeed. So moving on. Here we go. Another one. 1 Samuel 13:13. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. That's very clear, isn't it? We need to keep the commandments of the Lord our God. But then we need to understand that we can't keep them. Sin is in our hearts and our lives, and we are not able to keep the commandments. Therefore, we must turn to God and seek his forgiveness through the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, moving on. Now, we've got a memory verse. One of our church members is going to talk us through this. Thank you.
Our verse this time from the New Testament, from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What do you do when you have cares or worries? When you are afraid, confused, or discouraged, do you wonder, does God really care for me? This verse tells us to cast all our cares on the Lord. To cast literally means to throw. So we must throw all our fears, burdens, and worries on the Lord. It makes no difference if they are small or big. We need to remember that God is in charge of everything that happens in this world. He has not promised us that only good things will happen. Bad things happen too, because we live in a broken and sinful world. But the truth is that God cares for us in both the good and the bad times. When we have faith in Jesus, we can talk to him, and he answers our prayers in his time. May the Lord help us to remember that he's good, faithful to his children, and trustworthy, and he cares for us. Amen. Let's see if you remember the verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Let's say it all together. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Remember this verse, and I hope it will be a comfort for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Right, now I think we've got a quiz coming up.
Well, I hope you were listening last week, because we just got a few questions regarding last week's lesson. So here we go. First question. What made Paul decide to go to Macedonia? Time's up, and the answer is a vision in the night of a man pleading for Paul to come over to Macedonia. Next question. Finally, Paul and Silas arrived in Philippi. Where did they go on the Sabbath day? Did you get it? Out of the city to the riverside. Next question. They met a woman called Lydia. What was her business, or what did she do for a living? Did you remember? She was a seller of purple cloth. Final question. What did Lydia invite Paul and Silas to do? Time's up. Go to stay at her house. I hope you got those right.
Thank you very much indeed. So, we're going to move on to the story now with Paul. And this is a great part of the story. And you see when you can figure out what the ultimate question is when we get to it. So here we go. So, Paul, Silas and Timothy were staying in Philippi as guests of Lydia. And one of the questions was about Lydia, wasn't it? One day, they were going to the place of prayer and they were being followed by a slave girl who was possessed by a demon. This demon gave her powers as a fortune teller and she earned a lot of money for her masters. You can just see her in the background there, can't you? Poor girl. She was being used by those nasty men. Now, every day, she chased after Paul and the others, shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell us how to be saved, or the way of salvation." Now, this went on day after day until Paul was so concerned that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the demon left her. Now, that slave girl had lost her powers to tell the fortunes of poor people who gave their money to her masters. And the masters, they saw that their way of making money was now gone. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities in the marketplace. The whole city was in an uproar because of these Jews. They shouted to the city officials, "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them to be stripped and beaten with wooden rods. After a severe beating, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure that they didn't escape, so he put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. That's those wooden things. They couldn't move their feet, and after a while, the roughness of the wood would be very sore on their legs and ankles. Now, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Now, you might have thought that Paul and Silas would be moaning and complaining, but they weren't. They were singing hymns and praising and worshipping God. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, a big earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All of the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. This was God at work. The jailer woke up to see that the prison doors were wide open, and he assumed that the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted out to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked them this question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" How few people these days realize the importance of asking this question. Have you asked this question? Are you saved through what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on the cross? Now, they didn't say, "You've got to be good." They replied to the man, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved along with everyone in your household." Then they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Now, these were special days. The power of God was very much in the preaching of the Lord's people at that time. So that was the question. That's the ultimate question. What must I do to be saved? And the ultimate answer is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that actually mean? Many people believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe in what the Bible says, that he was born in Bethlehem. And they believe that he did many special things. He was a wonderful man. They believe because in the year 2021, we work out that date from when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth. But the question is deeper than that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the Saviour. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he was sent by God to be the Saviour of this world. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he took upon himself the punishment of our sins, which we deserve through a pure and holy God, that one God who is not able to look upon us because we are sinful. That's why we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have our trust in him. Now, the jailer cared for Paul and Silas, and he washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. That was because they wanted to show the people who were watching that now they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved him. Their faith and their trust was in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were now Christians. The jailer gave Paul and Silas a meal in his house, and his entire household rejoiced because now they all believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and they loved him. Now, the next morning, the city officials told the jailer let those men go. When they learned that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they came to the jail and they apologized to them for their treatment. Now, they shouldn't have treated Roman citizens in such a way. They were not allowed to treat them like that, to beat them and to put them in prison. And the officials said, oh, just let them go. But Paul said, no, we've been treated wrongly as Roman citizens. You tell those officials to come and speak to us because of what they've done wrong. So eventually Paul and Silas left the prison and they returned to the house of Lydia, that lady who we had a question about earlier on and who we learned about last week, how she too was one of the believers. So there was now a group of people in Philippi who loved the Lord Jesus Christ and wanted to serve him. And later in life, Paul wrote them a letter, which is in the Bible, the letter to the Philippians. So Paul and Silas went back to Lydia's house. They had some food and they talked to the people and they encouraged them. And then they continued on their journey. So I hope you thought about that story. I hope you thought about that ultimate question. What must I do to be saved? Not pay money, not go on a pilgrimage, not try and turn over a new leaf and be good. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be truly, truly sorry for the sins which sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross to suffer so that we may have forgiveness from our sins. Our sins were the sins which caused the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer and bleed and die on that cross. I'm going to close in prayer now. Oh Lord, our God, we do thank you for the story of Paul and Silas there in prison. We thank you for the way in which the jailer really understood that he needed to be sorry for his sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also needed, he needed to ask that question, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we do pray that many people will ask that question, what must I do to be saved? Lord, bless us. Be with us now, Lord God, we do pray. And we'd ask, Lord God, these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. So we hope to see you next week. We're not sure yet whether next week will be the last week or another couple of weeks. But in honesty, the number of people watching or listening to these presentations now has really dropped off. So we're thinking again about what we should do. But we do hope that if you listen this week, then it will really cause you to think about that ultimate question. What must I do to be saved? Take care, keep safe, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.